Okay, welcome back to another exciting episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm Craig Norman, glad to be with you this week. I'm joined by Diane Andreville. Diane, how was your week?
Good, and yours?
Pretty good. We have a big show lined up for today. We're going to, the format is as usual. We're going to recap what happened last week. We're going to have a couple of guests in. Today we have Joanny Castor-Thadal from the men's Gators team and Meshlen Gabalis from the Lady Gators, who are actually close friends from the city. So we're going to talk a bit about their friendship, and they both went to school at Champlain-St. Lambert, and now they're in the Lennoxville community. So I think that's of interest to everybody out there. All right. We're also going to get to know Coach Andreville a bit better this week, which should be interesting. All right. She does a great job with our program, and I think she has a very inspirational story to tell, and we look forward to that. And then we'll preview our upcoming week. But, you know, let's start off with recapping last week. We had, we finished off our regular season last week. We had a game against Concordia University last Friday night. Diane, what was the score in that game?
We won 62-57.
And any stat lines that are of interest to the people?
Yes. So, again, Edith had an amazing performance. She was one rebound short from a triple-double. She had 13 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. Marie Barrette almost had a double-double. She had 7 points and 10 rebounds. And we also had two other players in double digits, Maude Archambault with 10 points and Maeva Denali with 12 points, which she had from 4 three-pointers.
Wow. Yeah, it was an interesting night. I thought we played really, really well. You know, we ended up winning by 5. I thought we were close to connecting the dots, and we really don't. We want to be peaking this week, but I thought we were very close last week. We really dug in defensively throughout the game. We caused Concordia fits, but we couldn't put them away. We missed a number of easy looks at the basket.
Yes.
Eh, Diane?
Yes.
Like I think in the first half we must have missed 7 layups. All right, or really close looks that we wish we had back, but. You know what? We had to battle for 40 minutes, and it was a special night because it was senior night at Bishop's University, which, you know, in basketball, there's a tradition where you honor your graduating seniors, and we had 4 of them. We had Edith Noblechilla, Marimar Chazadi, Noemi Amel-Petit, a local kid from Magog, and Maeva Denali. And, you know, it was nice because, you know, Edith and Mara gave their usual stellar performances, and you know, Noemi and Maeve are kind of unsung heroes on this team, and they've sacrificed their role a bit for the good of the team, but they both came off the bench, and they contributed 18 points between the two of them. They hit 6 three-pointers, which if we get that going down the stretch, we're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yes.
You know, now, you know, it was nice because after the game, there was a ceremony, and we said some nice words about each of the girls, and that wasn't hard to do because all 4 of them are essentially better people than they are basketball players, and they're all very good basketball players. So that was very, very special, and the crowd was great. And they, you know, their families came down to the floor, and they were given a nice framed picture, a memento for the rest of their lives, and they were given flowers. And then we had a reception afterwards, and it was really quite a special evening. I think it capped off the regular season. We finished up 8-8. It was a tremendous turnaround for our program, and we're extremely happy and pleased with the regular season. Diane, maybe you can just recap how the final standings finished off in our league.
Yeah, so Laval is in first place. They have 12 wins and 4 losses. McGill is in second place. They're 11-5. We're in third place, 8-8, and UCAM is in fourth place, 5-11. And lastly, we have Concordia. They're 4-12.
You know, so, you know, we finished in third place and we locked up a playoff spot, and we have to travel down to McGill this week to play them. And, you know, our league is so tight, all right, from top to bottom. You know, you have Laval who finished first, and you have Concordia who finished fifth. And Concordia beat our first place team, and they lost to Laval, who finished first twice by 1 point. So it's this crazy league from top to bottom where every game is really a playoff game, and we feel like we're playoff ready. Now, Diane, maybe you could go through some of the top scorers and rebounders, like the final stats for the regular season.
Sure. So for the scoring leaders, we have Jessica Lubin from UCAM in first place. Second, we have Caroline Tass from Concordia. And third, we have Alex Kiss-Russ from McGill. As for our team, we have Edith, Mara, and Ashley in the top 12 as well.
Oh, that's good.
As for the rebounds, first place is Alex Kiss-Russ from McGill. Second place, Jessica Lubin from UCAM. And third place, Raphael Côté from Laval. And our very own Mary and Mara are in fourth and fifth.
Okay. I think it's of special note, too. Edith Noblechilla led the league in steals and assists, which is unbelievable. And she's second in the whole country in assists. All right. So, you know, she was, I think, 12th in scoring, 13th in rebounding, first in steals and assists. She's just had a tremendous year, which leads up to the awards have come out, the final awards for the year. All right, and I'm gonna announce these, and they're gonna be made public tomorrow at some point. But you know, for the player of the year in our conference, it goes to Alexandria Kiss-Russ from McGill, who's a tremendous, tremendous player. All right. The rookie of the year goes to Coralie Dumont. All right. The defensive player of the year goes to Jessica Lubin from UCAM. Now, in terms of the player of the year, Edith Noblechilla finished third in the voting. All right. She had a tremendous year. All right. Kiss-Russ finished first, and Jessica Lubin finished second. Edith was third. And, you know, in my humble opinion, as a coach, I think Edith Noblechilla had her fingerprints all over this conference all year, and I believe she was the best player in the conference, all right? But, you know, I guess that would have come if it just takes some time to get the recognition I think that we deserve, but I'm so proud of her, all right? In terms of Rookie of the Year, Coralie Dumont from Concordia, you know, ended up winning narrowly over Marie Berouet, our own Marie Berouet, who I think had a tremendous impact on our team. Last year, we had, you know, we were 2-14. We added Marie Berouet, probably the, like, you know, that was our lone major addition, and we went from 2 wins to 8. So I thought she had a tremendous impact. I thought she had a couple of down games.
Yes.
All right. And that affected her. So I think moving forward, we're, you know, I'm hoping to see Marie on the All-Star team next year, and hopefully Mode and Ashley could step up in that respect. Now, the first All-Star team, all right, the five top players in our conference are Alexandria Kiss-Russ, Jessica Lubin, Edith Noblechilla is a first-team All-Star for the first time in her career, Raphael Côté from Laval, and Mara Marchesotti is a first-team All-Star. So we had two players on the first All-Star team, which is great. All right, second-team All-Stars, Sarah-Jane Marois from Laval, Frederic Potvin from McGill. I think those two players are tremendous, and they could have very easily been first-team All-Stars. Carolyn Task, who's had a tremendous year. Jane Gagne from Laval, and Jaslyn Barker from Concordia rounded out the second-team All-Star team. For the rookie team, the all-rookie team, Coralie Dumont from Concordia, Marie-Evradine Berouet from Bishops, Leia Dominic from Laval, Charlotte Clayton from McGill, and Carrie-Anne Auger from Laval. All right, so those are the All-Star teams and the rookie All-Star team, and I think it's great that we were honored. Now, Diane, any games in the Sejup League last week?
Yes, there were 4 games last week. Champlain-Lennoxville won 61-51 against Édouard-Montpetit on Tuesday. On Friday, there were 3 games. Champlain-St. Lambert won 54-53 against Édouard-Montpetit. Dawson won 75-62 against Sainte-Foy, and Trois-Rivières won 50-42 against Vanier. As for the standings, Dawson is still in first place. They're 14-0.
Yeah.
Montmorency second place, 12-2. Sainte-Foy third place, 10-4. Champlain-St. Lambert in fourth place, they're 6-8. Trois-Rivières fifth place, 6-8 as well. Édouard-Montpetit is sixth, they're 4-10. Vanier 3-11, and Champlain-Lennoxville 1-13.
Perfect. So look, the final week of the regular season has happened in the University League. It's happened in the Division I College League. So next week and this week, it's all playoff action. So it's an exciting time, and we're right in the fold, as they say in basketball jargon. We are in the dance. All right, we are in the tournament, which means we are in the playoffs. Right now, we're one of 16 teams left in Canada at our level, and we're honored and privileged to be representing Bishop's University. We'll be right back with our two very special guests. Welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm joined by two very special guests today. We have Meshlin Gabalis, second-year player for the Lady Gators, team captain, unbelievable young student-athlete. We have Joanny Castor-Thadal from the Men's Gators program, the first male basketball player we've had on this show. All right, so welcome you two.
Thank you.
Welcome.
You know, part of the reason why I invited these two on the show is because they're kind of connected at the hip a bit. And it's been for about the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years. They both went to Champlain St. Lambert. They're both from Montreal North St. Leonard, kind of like the same area in Montreal. I know they traveled a lot together when they were going to Champlain. They had a long journey to and from. And they hang around a lot here in Lennoxville, and they help each other out on the court, all right, and with their studies. And I think it's a neat friendship that's developed, all right, and we're very fortunate to have them at Bishop's University. And I'm wondering if you two can talk a bit about the relationship you guys have, you know, the friendship that you, that is created with the two of you over the last 5 years.
Okay, I'm gonna start. I would like to thank Craig Norman for the invitation to this radio show.
It's our pleasure there, Joanny.
Okay, to start, I was a student, a normal student at Champlain St. Lambert, looking for friends. I had like 2-3 friends. One of them is JJ, Jeremiah Milcary.
Yeah.
And I just tried to build something in that school. And basketball, men's basketball and the girl basketball really like...
They're close.
We were close. We travel together for games at Saint-Foy and stuff like this. So we just try to know each other better.
Did you guys know each other before Champlain St. Lambert?
We kind of knew each other because
your paths crossed a bit.
Yeah.
I know from myself, like I help recruit Joanny to Champlain St. Lambert. So, you know, I coached them for a bit, and then, you know, for whatever reason, I left Champlain St. Lambert. But I started recruiting Meshlin Gabalis, and every time I went into the gym, if the men were practicing, Meshlin was watching. If the women were practicing, Joanny was watching. All right? And these guys were always getting shots up on the sideline. Now, tell me about this, Meshlin. Like, the two of you, like I think part of like the friendship is built around the love of the game, right?
Yep. Well, I think it just clicked like that. Like we had similar friends, we had friends in common, and then after that it was like basketball, we took everything seriously all together. We were four and we just went on like years after years we just went on, and then it happened that we came to Bishop's together.
So that wasn't a decision like you guys made. You just both ended up at Bishop's, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can you talk a bit about, like, have you helped each other on the floor? Like, do you watch each other play? And do you help each other with strengths and weaknesses? How does that work?
Definitely. Like, let's say, for example, when we were playing at Champlain, you know, the females we played before the guys, and they would always stay on the same spot on the corner. And every time I would do something, me and my other teammate, well, the guys after the game, we all met each other and we were talking about like our strengths and weaknesses and what we had to work on. So let's say, for example, on Saturdays, we would come back to Champlain, we would come and study, and between our studies, we would take a break, go in the gym, shoot and practice on like little details, and that's how we got better and our friendship like roll until then.
See, I think for the listeners out there, one thing that's neat about basketball as opposed to maybe other team sports is I think the men's and women's teams, there's a bond that's created over the year, all right, especially in the Division I level and at the university. Like, we travel to our conference games the whole year. So whether you like it or not, you got to support one another, all right? And I think it's a neat thing that forms. I'm wondering if you guys could talk a bit about how you've seen the other person grow in terms of maturity over the last 4 or 5 years. Like, Joanne, have you noticed some growth in Mechelen?
Yeah, I noticed some. As a first year or second year, we always make mistakes, like rookie mistakes and stuff. But since we're helping each other out, we always like trying to figure it out, try to help each other in the court or practice to know how we can improve each other.
Yeah. Now, here's a question for you, Mechelen, and I think this is something that happens with kids that are so driven like you two. You come to a school like Bishop's, all right? You're kind of isolated. You move away from your family, all right? And when things aren't going so well on the court because you're so competitive, like, I think the two of you sometimes probably overtrain at times, like you're trying to overcompensate. Is that an issue at times?
Yep, it is. And you know, as an athlete, I think it's a bit normal, but it's just like sometimes when I get too much, like over, and I talk to Joanie, and then he's like just calming everything down, and he's like, you know, we just need to work on this stuff, that stuff, and then after that, like, we just feel better, and then it's like another day.
Like, I often tell the girls, all right, Coach Norm is not a very smart man, all right? But he does know a thing or two about a thing or two. And one thing I do know is that I believe that the biggest determinant factor of athletic success is drive. And what I respect and admire about you two is I feel that you're very driven athletes, all right? And that you love the game. Now, I'm wondering, Joanne, like, I see you in the gym all the time. How much time are you putting in above and beyond just the team stuff? Like, so your team practices 2 hours a week and maybe lifts, but how much time are you putting in on your shot and working on your individual skills?
It changes from the first year and the second year. The first year I was always in the gym, like 2 hours shooting, because before there was no gun. The gun is the shooting machine.
Yeah.
And I always trying to work out once a day with Coach Matt. It's an assistant coach. And every day I try to do this. And Sunday I try to do something more relaxed. But it's every day I try to do it 2 times or 3 times a day.
So when you guys, Mechelen, when you guys are off the court and you're together, are you guys talking basketball most of the time?
Yes, we watch a lot of videos.
Yes,
we tag ourselves on different like NBA teams or WNBA teams or little workouts or we just go in the gym and shoot together.
Okay, now listen. Can you guys individual? Can you please talk about your seasons thus far? Like both as a team and as an individual. Any thoughts you've had on this season thus far?
To start, from my perspective, we started slow, 1-5 the first semester, and the second semester we won four more games, and that permit us to go in the playoffs tomorrow against McGill. As far as ups and downs, it's really a process. Last year we didn't win any game, two games. But this year we're trying to take it slowly, trying to take each details as important as the previous one, and we try to advance.
Perfect. Now, Mechelen, maybe you can touch on our game last week against Concordia, and maybe you can touch on how you feel about the upcoming playoff game.
I think we played really good besides like the end of Concordia. I think personally, defense was really our priority, and I think like we did what we had to do, It was nice to finish on a good note because it was senior night for four of my teammates, which is Maeva, Mara, Edith, and Noemi. And I think it's a great opportunity for them too to be, for the first time, to attend to the playoff spot and just to compete for the last time and just have fun with us.
So you guys are probably pretty excited about the games coming up, eh?
Yeah.
Of course. Now tell me this. You know, one of you can answer this. Like, I don't think people out there realize, number one, like, I think there's tremendous pressure on you young student athletes to perform, all right? But you also got to perform in the classroom. And everybody know, like, I'm not sure people know out there that it's midterm week, all right? And next week is reading week. So you guys are in a different situation than the regular student body. You gotta prepare for a big playoff game, and you gotta keep sharp if we go beyond. And other kids are thinking about they can concentrate on their midterms and they can concentrate on getting home for reading week. How do you guys balance that?
We just need to be disciplined. Like, just for example, me for myself, I have a midterm on Thursday, which is the day after our game. So, like, I started my studying earlier so that during game day, I know that I could just focus on the game.
That, there's a great answer. I think it's an inspiration for young players out there. Now, here's an interesting one, all right? I'm going to ask Joanne this because I know last year I tried to get Joanne to work at basketball camp, but Joanne was like, no, I'm training all summer. All right, that's all I'm doing, I'm training. And I'm wondering, what are your plans for this summer, Joanne, in terms of jobs and training?
Okay, let's see. The first year I did the camp, I didn't expect like the year to be as difficult as it happened. But the second year, I really tried to work on my game and try to add something that I can't to help the team,
yeah.
To help the team grow, and this year I'm trying to focus on technicality, like quality over quantity.
So you're really gonna focus in on certain aspects of your game.
Exactly.
Meshlin, how about you? Are we gonna be graced with your presence in Lenoxville a bit this summer, or are you gonna head home to spend some time with your family? And that's not a loaded question because either one is great.
Well, it's hard a bit because, you know, Lenoxville, it's a small town, so yeah. Sometimes we don't have the chance to go as often as we want back home during the year.
Exactly.
So it's a bit like a sacrifice that I have to do, but for sure I'm gonna be training. Whether it is at Champlain or at Bishop's, it's for sure I'm gonna find a gym and train.
Okay, now here's an interesting one. I'm wondering if you guys if you set any goals this year, and if so, did you reach any of the goals that you set, and have you set any goals for next year in your career?
Oh, my personal goal was to be one of the great defenders as to win the prize of Defensive Player of the Year, but I don't know if I'm going to get it.
Okay.
But it's still a goal in mind that I want to reach before the end of my career.
We talked about it, and I remember my first year we said that at least in her last 2 years, we wanted to go to the playoffs.
Good.
And last year, we sat on the sideline and then we were talking and we were like, man, we should have been there. We should have been there.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was at the playoffs, yeah. Right? Yeah. Last year.
Yeah. And now this year, we made it happen. So it's nice. It's exciting. And I think we have accomplished this goal.
Good. Now, last question for you guys. You know, and I think this is, you know, I think the people out there would be interested. How have you guys settled into the community of Lenoxville? And how do you feel the community has embraced you guys? Is it been, because I think Lenoxville is so different from the area of town you guys are from.
This community is so small that everyone know each other. Last year we did, before the season, we did a 33 hours. We try to help the community. I didn't know how what to expect and how is so important to the community. But we did some gardening.
We did some community service.
Yes, community stuff in the farm. We did a lot of stuff for the community, and at the games, it's always packed, and now I know why it's so important for the community to help the community.
Mitch, how do you feel about the community? Is this a place that you would recommend to like some of your friends to come to school?
Definitely. Like the vibe, the just everybody's smiling at you. Everybody's saying hi, or just like, hey, we're coming to your game this weekend. Hey, good job. Or even the teachers, everybody is involved. And sometimes they're like, we haven't seen bishops play like that since a long time ago. And it's just fun to hear that.
All right. The message I would like to give to you guys is you never arrive as a student athlete. And I think the best, I know the best is yet to come for you two. And you're going to have great, great careers. And, you know, I wish you nothing but success on and off the court. All right? Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. These are the days by the sparkling river. It's timely grace and our treasured faith. This is the love of the one magician. Turn the
All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today, we're gonna get to know Coach Andreville just a little better. She's my co-host, and she does a great job, and she coaches with me at Bishop's University, and she's matured so much in the last 3 years since I've gotten to know her. She's grown as a person, she's grown as a coach, and I... You know, you guys hear her voice here every week, and I think it's important that you get to know her a bit better. Diane grew up in Haiti, born and raised in Haiti for the first 12 years of her life, all right? And then she moves to Florida in the United States of America. And we know how volatile a community and a country that place is, being led by the great Donald Trump, you know? So she moves there when she's 12. She has to learn English quickly and be integrated into that community and into that country. Spends the next, how long?
4.5 years.
4.5 years of her life there, and then moves to Montreal. Quite a story. Ends up going to Vanier College, then goes to Concordia, gets a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology, comes to Bishop's, gets a Bachelor of Arts in Sports Studies, and now is doing a Master's at University of Sherbrooke and coaching with us. Diane, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about how you got involved in sports and the journey it took to eventually end up at Bishop's University.
Well, I grew up with a lot of boys, and all they did was play sports, so that's how I got involved with basketball. And once I moved to the States, I didn't know too many people, so I decided to sign up for basketball and flag football so I could meet people and find something to do after school.
Yeah. When I first met you, you seemed to be heavily involved in the powerlifting too. Like, and I know that you take great interest in the strength and conditioning aspect of our program. How did you get involved in that?
Well, when my family first moved here, I wasn't playing any sports, so I decided to weightlift so I could stay in shape. And right away, I fell in love with the feeling you get after a good workout session. And I love feeling strong and being able to push myself every day, and so I've been weightlifting ever since.
So it was part of your daily routine.
Yes.
And we all know that once you start lifting, you sort of get addicted to it somewhat.
Yes.
Eh? Now, you know, our paths crossed, I guess, 3 years ago. You know, I was assisting the women's head coach, and I was assisting the men's head coach, and all of a sudden there was this Diane Andreville who came in as an intern, or you were doing. Can you talk a bit about how you got involved with Bishop's University women's basketball program?
At first, I was at Concordia, and then when I finished my bachelor's there, I knew that I didn't really want to be a psychologist. I wanted to be in more in the coaching aspect. So that's why I moved to Bishop's, and since I wanted to be a coach, I decided to email Coach Alex Perno, and I asked him if I could volunteer with the team, and I told him, like, I could do whatever. I just need to gain experience, and then...
Well, let me just stop you right there. Yeah. For all, like, you young aspiring coaches out there, I don't know if you heard, like, Diane contacted a head coach at a university, and she asked to volunteer. And, you know, that was proactive. And, you know, how did... So when you made contact and you came, what were your initial responsibilities when you came on?
So I started as the team manager. I was in charge of the scheduling, the planning for the traveling, the travel itineraries, and I was in charge of the Google Docs.
So you got to learn from the bottom up, and
yes.
And you're big into the infrastructure and the logistics.
Yes.
Now, can you talk a bit about how your role has evolved over the last 3 years?
So my first year, I was exclusively the team manager. And by my second year, my role increased, and I had more coaching responsibilities. I was supervising the weightlifting sessions. I was responsible for scouting, editing film clips for the video sessions. And by this year, my role increased even more to be more on the coaching side. And now I'm responsible for the activation during the practices and before the games.
I think that role is going to continue to evolve. I think... Yeah. I mean, you have other responsibilities. Like, I mean, you're involved in decision making.
Yep.
You have a voice in all our staff meetings. All right, you're intimately involved in all aspects of the program. And I'm wondering if what kind of experience has been like for you.
Oh, it's been great. It's not just about coaching. Like, I'm learning how to edit video, how to recruit. So it's all aspects of the game. So whether I decide to stay as a coach or become an athletic director, I have all the skills necessary to do all those.
See, and I think it's important for young coaches to understand that every job is vitally important to the success of the program. All right? Every job that has to be done. And we're talking about making sure the bus is on time. Post-game meals, yes. Making sure the uniforms are set. These are all things that allow the athletes to just play and the coaches coach. And Diane does whatever it takes in scouting, recruiting, fundraising, the organization of our tournament. She's learning everything, you know, and basically she came in here with not a lot of head, like any coaching experience.
No.
You know, and now you're intimately involved in a program that's knocking on the top, in the top 10 in the country.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Now Diane, you have a special quality. It's called a work ethic. All right, and you know that's a skill. All right, and I'm wondering where that came from. How did you develop that?
When we were in the States, my parents worked a lot, and so at home, I had to be responsible and take care of my brothers. I had to be a leader and always make sure I knew where they were, make sure to keep them out of trouble, make sure they do their homeworks, and, you know, get them to always do what they have to do as well. Like, so I became
and isn't that what coaching is, Diane?
Yes, so I tried to be a role model for them, and what I tried to install in them is that if you need to get something done, make sure you get it done and make sure you always do it to the best of your ability. So I try to take that in everything I do.
It's great advice. Now, you know, Diane, you're a graduate assistant with us. Really, you're an assistant, all right? And you're the second assistant on a terrific team, which is a great role for you. Now, but you have tons of other stuff on your plate. I know that you run small ball, all right? You're doing a master's degree. All right, you coach a team of your own. Can you touch a bit about all the other things that you do out there?
I'm doing small ball, so I'm in charge of that program. I run all the practices, and I'm in charge of the progression, I would say, of the future generation of basketball.
You know, for everybody out there, small ball is a program that Diane runs for young kids. What's the age, Diane?
From 5 to 11.
So 5 to 11, which is a pretty big age group there, and there's two sessions on Saturday morning, and it's a great fun-filled learning environment where Diane leads it, and she has a couple of our players help out, and it's a super, super thing. Now, what else do you do besides small ball, Diane?
I'm studying full-time at Sherbrooke, doing my master's degree. It's in the education intervention of physical activity.
Wow.
So I'm doing a research project right now, and what I want to do is show kids how to be more responsible when they grow up. So wait a second.
You want to show kids how to be more responsible when they grow up. I would say that's a pretty useful thing you're doing.
Yes.
And I would imagine a lot of people might be asking for your assistance. I know I have a young man at home that could probably benefit from that.
So, and what I find as well is I'm learning a lot of practical stuff right now in school. So I try to implement those in small ball as well so I could get the kids to be more disciplined at times.
Now, I know too, you also got a family in Montreal. You got a twin brother who's into the music industry. And I know sometimes you run home and you got to help your mom at the hair salon.
Yes. Yeah, so on weekends is the busiest for my mom. So if I go home on the weekends, sometimes I don't get to see her. So at times on weekends, I go to the salon and we spend time together. And at the same time, I'm helping her out.
Well, that's great. So you keep pretty busy.
Yes.
Now, how do you think the team and yourself has changed since your arrival at Bishop's University?
I think both the team and I have matured a lot since the time I started here with the team. For myself, I know that I'm becoming more comfortable with being vocal and coaching. And as for the girls, like, they're maturing on and off the floor as well. And every day I see more leadership emerging out of them.
Now, what about changes? Like Diane, you remember some of the turmoil and some of the stuff we've went through. Do you feel that stuff is solidified over the years?
Definitely. Like, there's less tension between the girls as well. Like, we're starting to build a new culture at Bishop's. And you can see, like, everyone is buying in into the system. Everyone's happier. So that also helps us on the court. And I think that's a big part of, like, our success this year.
Now, I think, like, Diane, you have some major responsibilities, all right? Logistics is one, making sure we're set when we go on the road, and hotels and food and buses. And you activate the girls before practices and all our games, and they really rely on you with that. I'm wondering if you can touch a bit on what you do academically with the girls. Like, how do you monitor them and because I think that contributes greatly to our success, because, again, like, the girls do well in the classroom, and that's largely in part to how you supervise them. Maybe you can touch on that aspect of your job.
Yeah, so I'm responsible for their academic Google Docs. So they have to report their marks online, and I have to monitor them. So in case anyone falls below, say, 70 or 65%, I advise you, and then we could find them the help necessary to get them to perform better in class, and also make sure that they do attend class. So they also have to report their class attendance. And what we do also for first years is we have study hall. So every Monday right now, we spend 1 hour together, and I monitor them and make sure they take at least 1 hour to do their homework.
Yeah. You know, and Diane, I remember when we first started this Google Doc, we had people fighting that and not too happy, and now it's just part of the culture.
Yeah, everyone just does their job.
Now, can you talk a bit about your passion for coaching and steps you have taken to improve in that area?
My experience as an athlete wasn't the best, and I decided to become a coach so then future athletes can have a better experience.
Okay.
So then that's how I found my passion for coaching. And I read books, whether it's on motivation, finding ways to help athletes attain their full potential. So I always try to read books, watch videos online. I always try to go to coaching clinics as well, trying to get my NCCP certification.
Well, I'm hoping this summer we could hook you up with the Quebec team or the national team, and you get to one of those camps and keep developing. Diane, we always end off with this type of question. What advice would you give to a young lady out there who wishes to follow in your very, very big footsteps?
Well, first I would say you have to make a plan. Make sure you have the steps for that plan and make sure you stick to it. Also, if a person would like to be in coaching, it's a hard field to get into, and it will be hard to find jobs at first. But I would say if you have the time, you should go and volunteer find a way to get experience. And once you get the experience, it'll be easier to find a job later on.
You got to be proactive and you got to follow your dreams.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Well, listen, Diane, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you as a person and as a coach, all right? On behalf of the women's basketball program and Bishop's University, all right? We are honored and privileged to have you on our staff, and we are very grateful, all right? And I know you're after my job, all right? And I've come to accept it at this point, all right? I've come to accept it. I know one day it's going to be head coach Andrewville, all right? And if it's not here, it's going to be somewhere else because you're a special, special young lady, all right? I wish you nothing but success, all right? And we'll be right back with the preview of our upcoming week, all right? These are the days of the endless dancing that the Lord walks on this summer night. These are the days of the true romance. What I'm holding you, oh, so tight. These are the days of a sparkling river, and it's time to grace in the treasure find. This is the love of the one great magician, and the water into mine. These are the days now that we must say. Okay, welcome back to the final segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We're just going to preview what's up this week. We've been preparing diligently for our upcoming playoff game versus McGill on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. This show will air Wednesday at 7. So we'll be, while this show is on the air, we'll be in battle at Sir Arthur Currie Gymnasium in Montreal. On Pine Avenue versus McGill. It's going to be a hell of a challenge for us. All right, we're going into the defending national champions' home gymnasium and trying to win a playoff game. All right, but I'll tell you what, the girls, I believe, are mentally and physically ready for the challenge. We've had a great week of preparation. We've done film work. We've got a solid game plan. I hope. In place, and we're really excited. All right, McGill is a tough matchup for us. We beat them once this year when they were ranked number one in the country, but they beat us three times. All right, and we have yet to beat them on their home court. But we know that in order to get to the next level, we'd have to go through McGill. So what the heck? We're excited about our game Wednesday night. They have some terrific players. They have Alex Kiss-Russ, who's the player of the year in the conference. All right, Marimar Chazotti's going to match up with her. They have Marie Love-Michel, who's graduating this year, who does a great job. They have Frederick Potvin, who's a terrific player, a second-team All-Star. All right, they have Gladys Hakazima. All right, the list goes on. And it's, McGill's a very physical team. They're half-court oriented, all right? They're great in special situations. They're a lockdown defensive team. They're one of the top defensive teams in the country, all right? And they've been ranked number one for a number of weeks this year. So it's just going to be an unbelievable challenge, all right, this week. And, the other playoff game in our conference is UCAM is going to be at Laval on Wednesday night. And that's going to be a tight game between UCAM finished fourth in our conference and Laval finished first. So the two winners of those games play Saturday afternoon for the RSEQ championship. So it's a big week in women's basketball in Quebec. All right. And we're just fortunate. We're in the dance, we're in the tournament, and we're ready and willing to go. Now, Diane, I'm wondering what other action. There's 16 teams left in the country right now.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what other action is happening across the country in U Sports basketball.
So on Wednesday, there'll be the semifinal for the OUA. So McMaster will play against Ottawa, and Carleton will play against Windsor. As for the AUS, their quarterfinal will be on Friday, and St. Mary's will play against Memorial, and UPI will play against UNB. As for the Canada West, their championship is actually on Saturday, and Regina will play against Saskatchewan.
So, you know, it's going to be an exciting week. I'm hoping next week we're going to be back on the air and we're going to be getting ready to go to Regina to the national championships. But we're going to have to get through McGill first on Wednesday night. Now, the song of the week this week is, Diane, do you know who it's by?
Van Morrison.
It's by Van Morrison because nobody stepped up to the plate, so I just figured I'd have to do it. And I found a good song. It's called These Are the Days. All right? It's a great song. It's got a bit of a gospel message to it, but some of the lines are, the time is now, all right? And the time is now for us, all right? There is no past. There's only here. There's only now. And I think for an athlete to be successful, all right, you got to stay in the moment and you got to concentrate on the task at hand, all right? He further goes on to say, these are the days that we must savor and we must enjoy as we can. Just think about it. The girls have worked hard all year. We're going to play a big playoff game. And I believe that these are the days that we must savor, all right? These are the days that will last forever. You got to hold them in your heart, all right? I'm so proud of the girls, all right, for what they've accomplished and what we still can accomplish. So listen to that song and try to digest some of the words and think about our team as you listen to it. Close your eyes once again and do some imagery. Now, Diane, what is the coaching tip of the week for this week?
So I wanted to talk about providing the kids the best chances to have success on the court. Because they're young and they want to have fun and also they want to succeed. So let's say we're doing layups. For the first thing we do actually in a small ball is we lower the basket so they have a chance to see their shots go in. So you need to give them the best chances to score, to see themselves do well in basketball, so then they'll stick to it and then they'll be motivated to come to practice to do well, and then they'll have better chances to stick with basketball and keep playing in the future.
It's great advice. And Diane, we do that all the time with our team, right?
Yes.
Like we're now in the playoffs and we've got to put the girls, we've got to assign them tasks that they're going to be successful at. Yes. All right? And when they're successful at that, their motivation grows, all right? They're tasting success and they play harder and they want to get back on the court. So I think it's great, great advice. Put your athletes in a position where they're going to be successful. Okay. Now, Diane, it's been a super, super regular season.
Yes.
All right. We've attained our goals. All right. At the beginning of the year, we wanted to jump over UCAM and Concordia, and we wanted to be in the playoff hunt. Well, we're there.
Yes.
And now, Diane, we want more, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So look, I think it was a great show. All right. I'm hoping next week we can be back on the air, all right, and talking about our upcoming week.
Yes.
All right. So have a great weekend, Diane, and
thank you.
Everybody out there, have a great weekend. It was great being on the show this week. And once again, we'd like to thank CJMQ for giving us this opportunity. We'll see you next week on Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Na 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 na